Think about all the time you spend on your phone and all the things you do with it. Order groceries, send photos to friends, even pay your rent. Now consider this. Your phone carrier could be collecting data on all that user activity. They say it's so they can better understand your interests, but really, they want to sell your activity to advertisers. That's why I use ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN is an app that prevents your phone carrier from being able to see the sites you visit and sell it off to third parties. All it takes is one tap of a button, and all of your network data gets encrypted and rerouted through ExpressVPN's secure servers for ultimate privacy. Whether you're an iPhone, Android, or even tablet user, ExpressVPN works on all your devices. One subscription can be used on up to 5 devices at the same time. When your phone carrier tracks you, that's a gross invasion of privacy. You can either keep letting them cash in on you, or visit expressvpn.com/wire to get the same VPN I use. Take back your online privacy today and use our link to get 3 extra months free. That's expressvpn.com/wire. expressvpn.com/wire.
The college football playoffs are set. 49ers cornerback Jimmy Garoppolo is going to miss the rest of the year with a broken foot. And we're going to break down the best and worst from a great football weekend. Check out more on Crane & Company. There was a ton of attention paid to the release of the final college football playoff rankings yesterday, as the committee decided to put Georgia, Michigan, TCU, and Ohio State in the final playoff, and in that order from a seed perspective. Now, after all the talk on whether Bama, Tennessee, or Clemson should have made it, when you look at the very loose criteria the committee says they used with a mix of the eye test, I believe they got it right when it comes down to those final four. Now, if you're a fan of a team that got in or got left out, you're going to side with your team and whatever logic follows, and that's expected and understandable. But if you want to get a true analysis, you have to take a sociopathic look at it. You can't catch feelings or fall in love with brands. We also have to be able to separate the teams that are deserving compared to those who may be favored by Vegas on a neutral field. Now, in the case of Ohio State, when compared to some that were left out, they lost one time all year to the number 2 team in the country who went undefeated in Michigan. When you look at TCU, they lost one time in an extra game in overtime to a top 10 team. Now compare those two with, let's say, Bama, who lost twice, including a loss to a now 4-loss LSU team. And the best quality win was against 20th-ranked Texas, who TCU beat worse than they did. Now, if Bama played TCU on a neutral site, I'm betting Bama all day. There's no doubt about that. But you can't make decisions based on hypotheticals when the most important metrics are so one-sided. Now, some of you will be upset at this because your team didn't make it, and that's okay. I totally get it. But to quote the great philosopher Lil Tunchi, men lie, women lie, but numbers don't lie. I'm going to bring in my co-host.
But David lies.
But David's a liar. Especially David Michigan.
Oh, David Michigan, yeah.
David Cohn, former Michigan quarterback, Heisman candidate, soon to be father of 2. Can't believe it. Mm. And then my brother, apparently, former Western State Colorado wide receiver, Blaine Crane, also known as Flaming Dragon on Friday and Peppermint Alice on Thursday, but we're not going to talk about
that.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about that. Guys, Final Four playoff, you agree?
They got it right, I think.
I think so, too.
Got it right. I was a little surprised.
I feel like
they have a history of getting it wrong.
I feel like the bed was pretty much already made for them. Mm. You know, I know there's going to be some controversy with you know, a little bit with Alabama, and then you can talk about Tennessee and maybe you can throw Clemson in there. But at the end of the day, I think they got the seeding right, too. I think TCU playing that extra game as opposed to Ohio State not, them being able to keep the 3 seed, I thought that was right. I'm glad that they didn't, which, again, we all know what this is about. It comes down to ratings and things like that. But it was so obvious, and it would have been so obvious if they put Ohio State in that 3 seed and TCU in that 4 seed that they wanted that Ohio State-Michigan matchup. But I think they got it right, Blaine.
I don't know. I don't know if they did. I'm pretty sure Auburn should have been in that top 4. Let's be honest. I think we deserved it.
Now, there's a fan. You know, there's a true fan.
That's really going to help the case of talking about Alabama.
I'm really glad to see this the way the committee did it. Because, look, Alabama, you had a great year. Your schedule was tough. But 2 losses and your best win was Texas. I don't think you deserve to get in the playoffs. I really don't.
How crazy is it that Blake Sims won a national championship and Bryce Young's not going to win one?
Mm. Oh, Jay Coker won one too.
I mean, yeah, A.J. McCarron won one, and of course, A.J. played in the NFL. When I look at the metrics and you look at what really matters, the only argument I think that Alabama has is that we would beat TCU on a neutral field. But, you know, I don't think you can look at a certain hypothetical and just go off of that. You have to look at, all right, head-to-head. We don't have a head-to-head for that. We do have a common opponent in Texas, and they both played them on the road. And you look at the difference there. You look at the losses. Two losses to one loss has to be looked at. It has to be a big deal. That is one of the biggest metrics in my eyes, is how many games you lost. It's just the truth. So there'll be people that are upset. There'll be people that are happy. But I do think they got it right. Now, does that mean that Michigan may beat TCU by 20 points? Maybe. Who knows? But I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that happened.
Me neither.
I think the Georgia-Ohio State game has a chance to be tight. I think it has a chance to be tight. Now, I did see a future that if Georgia played Michigan, Georgia would be a touchdown favorite.
Touchdown favorite. Sounds about right. I go back to this point. Throughout the history of college football, the goal was, you know, to win your conference, okay? And then that created a problem where you'd have one team say, well, we're the national champion. Say, we're the AP national championship. And another team said, well, we're the coach's national champion, right? And you had these split national champions some seasons throughout history. That created the BCS system where, you know what, we're going to take those top two teams and let them actually play in a national championship game. And that worked in a lot of cases. In some cases, it didn't work. Like a 2004 Auburn team who goes unbeaten in the SEC, doesn't get a chance to play for the national title when SC and Oklahoma play for it. So that created a college football playoff system with four spots. That has solved the problem with the BCS system. In this year, we would have a number one Georgia versus a number two Michigan, both unbeaten, the only two undefeated teams, and it would be crystal clear. The fact that we even get a couple extra games where TCU has an opportunity or OSU has an opportunity to go in there and play in the college football playoff, I think is great. Now, this is the penultimate year of this, right? Next year is the last year of the 14 playoff. We're going to move to 12. I think it can actually be good for college football. You've won me over on some of your points with the 12-team playoff.
Yes!
But I believe that, you know, it's good. We're getting double the games that we would have with just going ahead and saying Georgia and Michigan playing the national title.
Yeah, I mean, it's like watching one of those old Billy Mays commercials. He's like, Georgia may play Michigan, but wait, there's more. If you call now, TCU and Ohio State will get in here.
You're getting a little extra.
But people ask me, they ask me sometimes, like, Jake, do conference championships games matter? And my answer is always, every team is in a different situation. You can't generalize this. For example, TCU's undefeated going into the Big 12 championship game. LSU, before they lost to Texas A&M, if they had two losses going into the SEC championship and they won, they would have been in. So the game that TCU is playing in the conference championship and the game that LSU is playing in has totally different implications for what happens. That's why you can't just make blanket statement, it either matters or it doesn't. That's not how it works. This isn't a binary choice. This isn't good versus evil or dark versus light. Every situation is different, and you have to approach it like that if they win or if they lose based on the circumstances that they have. And when you talk about the expanded playoff and people say, oh, well, you know, it should just be Georgia and Michigan because that's what meritocracy really is. I thought meritocracy is playing it on the field. Like, meritocracy is, it gets determined by in a football sense, of playing it on the field. Okay, so we have 12 teams. How is that not meritocracy? It is actually played on the field. If you look at the definition of a meritocracy, it is basically abilities given because they're earned. Like, you earn the win on the field. If you're going to say maybe the opportunity, I guess, to for one of those teams to lose, you know, affects meritocracy, I argue against that when it comes to the expansion of the playoffs. So when it comes to conference championship games and when it comes to these situations in general, if you really want to get a true look at it, look, fans short for fanatical, okay? You're not going to convince some people. You're just not. People are going to be pissed off, going to be upset, or they're going to be really, really happy. But if you really want to get a true analysis of it, you look at it from a total non-feeling standpoint. Because if you caught feelings in Major League Baseball, we'd all be gold glovers. Okay, but you can't catch feelings. You have to look at the true metrics. But if you want to catch some good bets and the place to get the best lines, you need to download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use our code Booster. It's super easy. It's B-O-O-S-T-E-R. If you place a $5 bet right now on any NFL team to win, including tonight, and you get $150 in free bets if they do. That's only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Use our code Booster. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. Make sure you see the show notes for details. I got a same game parlay, which is one of my favorite things to do, especially for NFL games, especially on like Mondays and Thursdays. Got a same game parlay with the Bucks tonight. I got Godwin, anytime scorer. Taysom Hill, anytime scorer. This is separate than show bet. Bucks money line and the under at 50 and a half. I got those odds at like plus over 1,000 odds.
Let's
like
go.
That. So we're going to see. I love this, the same game parlays. That's why I love DraftKings Sportsbook. Make sure you check these guys out. Easy and fast payouts. Player prop options. It's just a and
big
a
player prop guy.
Really. Smorgasbord.
You've been hitting a lot of player props.
Big player prop guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not as, I don't know. I've had a little success with them. I like these same game parlays a lot, though.
Yeah, the SGP.
Ever since I learned how the logistics operating it.
Yeah, you down with SGP?
I didn't know you had to hit the toggle. Like,
at this point, David, you can walk into Best Buy and know where you're at.
Hey,
I'm proud of you for that.
That's funny, considering I ran a video production company and had to know what every single aisle was at Best Buy.
You're welcome.
Hey, can I get the HDMI to the HDMI micro? Chad, good to see you again this week.
Yeah, Chad does a great job, too. I don't think he gets enough credit.
I was going to say one more thing here quickly.
Just no, we're going to get college
football playoff. If you think TCU should be kept out because they lost in the conference championship, then that disincentivizes for conferences to have a league championship, right? And that's not a good thing. If you say that OSU should be kept out because they are rewarded for not even going to a conference championship, then that would keep Alabama and Tennessee out in this situation, at which point you're looking at Clemson, Utah, and Kansas State conference champions who would have to take a couple of those last two spots after Georgia and Michigan. And I don't think, I'm really glad that Clemson, Utah, and Kansas State are coming in at 7, 8, and 9 in the rankings. Because if you win a Power 5 conference championship, you have to be ranked inside the top 10. That's my idea of it. But I don't think those teams, Utah with 3 losses, Kansas State with 3 losses, Clemson with 2 losses deserve to be in the college football playoff. Yeah. That's why I think they got this right.
I just wish they'd come up with something to fix that.
Just put numbers next to the criteria. Go ahead.
All right, Booster Club. What's up, everybody? I hope you had a good weekend. Let's go to Jacob Lovelace over the $10 donation.
Oh, Mr. West.
Mr. West. He says, shout out to my Horned Frogs. Mm. Don't know what the heck they were doing on 3rd and 4th down. Nobody does. Duggan had like 125 yards rushing on the drive before with penalties, but more to come. Hashtag never satisfied.
Oh, don't worry. Wait till we get to best and worst.
TCU in an underdog role? Who'd have thought?
Yeah, don't lick the frog.
Old War Skull, 88, with a $20 donation.
War Skull.
It says, now that USC lost to a team by more than 3 touchdowns from a state that eats meat and knows what gender they are and doesn't paint bad words on fingernails like an emo 8th grade girl. Can y'all shut up about them? Look, it's our job to talk about
them. Yeah, we gotta talk about it. I mean, look, if we talked about just the same 4 teams every day, this would get super duper boring. And this is actually a year where we can get to talk about more teams at the end. So best believe I'm taking it.
I didn't know Caleb Williams paints his nails.
You didn't know that? You didn't know that?
No.
It's not a good look.
Should I know that?
It's not a good look. It came out a couple weeks ago. I don't know when he started doing it. I don't know if he did it
in Oklahoma. What did it say?
This one said F Utah. The one I saw when he was playing UCLA.
That's your putting bad energy.
I think I saw it when he played UCLA. I can't remember what that said. Probably the same thing. First of all, that comment in there is funny.
Hilarious.
That's a funny comment.
Hilarious.
Also, before that, though, their only loss was to that Utah team by 1 on the road. It's not like they had gotten blown out by them before.
See, this is why we need
point bullying. Still taken.
This is why we need bullying in the locker room. You know, the good old days.
Yeah.
To be honest.
The good form of bullying.
Yeah.
The productive form. Not the vindictive.
No.
You know, oh no, love. Not Carrie. I'm dumping paint
it's
on you
love.
In front of the
my,
whole
My best friend was fat. I bullied him, and now he's skinny and a lawyer. So I take all responsibility for
him. What does I bullied him mean?
I called him fat a lot, but with love.
So it was verbal.
Yeah, I didn't physically assault.
Blaine said now he's skinny and a lawyer.
So, I mean, what else? It worked.
And you are right, still
another
friends?
Donation here from yes. Mr. Lovelace. $10. Jacob coming in hot. Says also, thank you, Jake. God. Yes. Thank you, Jake, for compliments all year for TCU.
Mm.
David, did we not give TCU compliments Shower. All year?
No, you guys didn't compliment him once.
FD, thanks for completing. thanks for Saturday. Go Michigan, Dave.
Hey.
David, Michigan's a house divided until we play. Much respect. And don't know how I can beat a superhero. It's going to be tough. You got to find his kryptonite, which is candy corns.
Which is it's
replacement cone right here to my right.
Yeah.
Let's go to Dakota Blackburn. Might want to get that checked out. Hashtag Ask Candy Company. Do you guys think that Oklahoma versus FSU is a good matchup for the Cheez-It Bowl? I feel like FSU earned a better opponent. I would agree. And I mean,
Jordan Travis is going to run for 200 yards. You think Oklahoma can't catch some of the guys in the Big 12? Jordan Travis is going to be like a reindeer running around that place. They're not going to be able to put their hands on him.
I will say this. I was looking at this yesterday. I think it's a little bit wild that Cheez-It has its own bowl. It's the Cheez-It Bowl. But then Cheez-It is also sponsoring this year's Citrus Bowl. So it's the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl.
What, Cheez-It Takeover?
It's the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl and the Cheez-It Bowl. You got to pick one or the other, unless you sponsor our show, in which case you can do whatever you want.
You
want
to know how I know Cheez-It's rich? Because they're just like sponsoring every bowl game.
I told Darby Lou this, who works in activation my drive for to bowl games. Morning. I told her they have the Cheez-It Bowl and the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl. She goes, man, that costs a lot of money.
Yeah. It's like, well, guess what? What a great invention, Cheez-Its. Some guy was like, damn, they're in some boardroom. They're like, guys, we need to come up with just a good snack that can make a lot of money. Snacks are high right now. It's like, why don't we just get a little square piece of whatever fried chip cheese that is.
I went to the Citrus Bowl and it was.
And now there's so many 20 to 29 year olds playing.
Capital One was
playing
a sponsor.
Elden Ring down in their mom's basement. She's just bringing them Cheez-Its and pizza rolls.
Elden Ring?
Yeah. Isn't that what it's called?
Is that a video game?
Elden Ring?
Yeah, you're right. First of all, don't bring pizza rolls into this. Let's be honest.
No, you know what I mean. You know what I mean? You can calm down about
Elden Ring, great video game. Actually, going to win video game of the year. Let's go to Garrett Frank, hashtag Ask Crane Company. Oh, but first, Steve, what? Action Figure Frenzy. Everybody needs to know. I know we brought it up on yesterday's show that David did say Ohio State on morning.
Yes, winter. It's done.
That whole thing.
It's done.
That's a whole
done
different
now.
Thing.
No,
that's a whole different situation.
You said
over there.
The words.
Also,
we need to get that clipped out.
Yeah, we'll get that clipped out.
We need to get it clipped out. We need to play it on the show. I want to hear it.
Ryan, can we get that on the soundboard?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Ryan doesn't have anything to do with
that.
No. And also,
right on the soundboard,
it's a sign of me calling them Ohio is a sign of respect. Everywhere I go. Ohio. Ohio. They never say anything about a state on there. And then in the fight song, it says Ohio. Okay. I'm being respectful because I respect them as a top-tier brand in the Big Ten.
So were you being disrespectful on Morning Wire?
Yes, accidentally. That was accidentally. Okay.
You can try and do any of these mental gymnastics you want to. At the end of the day, you said it. And like Jonah Hill said on Superbad, people don't
And they got in the playoff, baby. We're going to see. Let's go.
Let's go to Texas Ed, hashtag Ask Crane Company. Who will be the best QB to hop in that transfer portal?
It's not DJU. The best quarterback to hop in or that has already been in. I still think
future hop in.
I mean,
you know, something no one
look,
else does.
Yeah, will Drake may stay at North Carolina? Who knows? I still think Brennan Armstrong in the portal right now.
You've always been a big fan of Brennan.
Dude, get him an offensive line. Get this man an offensive line. He's a problem. If Brennan Armstrong goes somewhere that is fully functional, it's going to be a problem. I know he's left-handed. The ball spins funny. They write weird. They like weird foods and go weird places. But get Brennan Armstrong on a legitimate team offensively with an offensive line and a good run game, and it will be a problem. Because the dude, I mean,
what team right now?
Is this your recruitment pitch to get him on the planes?
No. We don't have an offensive line. I would say if I'm looking right now, obviously with what Cade's going to do in Clemson, I think it's still in the ACC, even though that doesn't matter in the transfer portal. Man, I think right now, like if I'm like Miami, I know it's still in the ACC. I think that'd be a good move. You got two young, very talented offensive tackles coming in. You do return some of the guys. I know it's been a dumpster fire there, but you know, looking around the SEC, if Spencer Rattler goes pro, Brennan Armstrong sliding over there to South Carolina, he just looks like a guy that would play at South Carolina.
I really
too.
Do think Spencer needs to stay another.
He
year.
He does need to stay another year.
All right, let's go to Baby Sore's dad. Says Buckeyes are the candy corn of college teams. I can agree with that. Let's go to Devil Dog.
Devil Dog.
6'9". Good to see you in here, brother. He says, can the Buckeyes win with a quarterback that has shown he's unable to level up for big games?
Yes. I think Ohio State can actually win this game. Mm-hmm. If I'm Georgia, I would have rather played TCU than Ohio State. And again, every game's different, and Georgia's shown you situationally they can win games in different ways. They've shown you balance. They've won games defensively. They won games offensively. They use special teams in areas, whether it's coverage, forcing fumbles or block punts or things like that. But when I look at Ohio State's wide receiver core and I look at them
having time to get healthy with Henderson and Williams in the backfield. Now, does C.J. Stroud get a little nervy in big moments? Yeah, we've seen that. Mm-hmm. Right? He goes a little Chuck Knoblauch sometimes. All right, whoops, how did I throw it in the stands from second base? But if he is on with Marvin Harrison Jr., with Igbuka, with Jaxon Smith-Njigba, with those backs healthy, with Russell Stover at tight end, the monster that they have. His first name's not Russell, but that's the only way I could use Stover and something else. I think Ohio State can score enough points to beat Georgia. If Georgia plays their B game and Ohio State plays their A game, I think Ohio State can win. Not that they're gonna, but I think they have the ability to. And against this Georgia team, there's not a lot of teams out there that have the ability to beat them even on their best day.
And look at that Rose Bowl last year. That was a big game. He led them back against Utah. I think Jaxon Smith-Njigba had 250 Woo! Receiving, something like that. So C.J. Stroud has played well in some big games. I think you have to remove the Michigan game to a certain extent, not completely, but to a certain extent, because that's more than a big game. That's an absolute war, and in all fairness to C.J. Stroud, he was walking into something where Michigan has been due for something like this for a long time.
All right, let's go to Garrett Frank, hashtag Ask Creating Company. Should Max Duggan win the Heisman over Caleb Williams, who paints profanities on his fingernails like an entitled child?
I mean, don't we have to say Max
Dugan's
in the lead right now?
I don't know.
No, he's still in the lead.
No.
We sit here right now.
The same team twice and win the Heisman.
That's college football is complete right now with regular season and conference championships, and I have no idea who's in the lead for the Heisman.
Which is actually new.
I don't.
It's actually new. This has been the year of we don't really know who it's going to be, like, which has been fantastic.
So you agree with that?
Georgia,
you don't have a clear cut?
I don't think it's as clear cut as it has been. The numbers are somewhat comparable, but now if TCU would have won that game, I think it may be a wrap. Mm. I think it may be a wrap. But I think right now Max is in the lead. I would give it to Max right now. I really would. And you know what the worst part is? This would have totally been the year a defensive guy could have won it if somebody would have freaked out.
Like Will Anderson.
Like if Will Anderson Jr. would have freaked out this year or just had the year he had last year, I think a defensive guy really could have won it. I think a defense guy really could have won it. But, you know, when I look around at some of these awards, like I look at, you know, like Clark Phillips from Utah, not being in the Jim Thorpe Award, having a chance to win that thing. Some of them are just messed up. But this year, I do think the Heisman is as wide open as it has been. I would give it to Max right now, but I'm going to go ahead and tell you. If I had to give you a propane tank, you know who I call?
Probably Cinch.
Probably the guys at Cinch, Blaine.
Mm-hmm.
All right? You down with that? Yeah, are you sure?
I'm up for that.
Good. I love that. That's what I want you to say. You need to go online right now to cinch.com or download their app to order. New customers can get their first tank exchange for just $10 with promo code Booster. All right, go to cinch.com or download the Cinch app. Use promo code Booster to get your first tank exchange for just $10. That's CYNCH.com, promo code Booster. This is a limited time offer, so hurry. And you must live within a Cinch service area to redeem it. Visit cinch.com/offer for details. Guys, we make this simple. Here's what Cinch does. You order your propane tank, all right? You don't even have to be home. They're going to bring it to your doorstep. You don't have to get a long-term commitment or subscription, all right? You can download and track to order on the Cinch app from anywhere. It doesn't matter. Choose your delivery date, and they handle the rest. Just use Booster. We just had Thanksgiving. Use the propane tank to deep fry a turkey. Now, guess what? It's Christmas. Do it again.
But before that, birthday party this weekend.
Birthday party this weekend.
Low Country Boil.
Yes.
We're getting the Cinch
I'm
tank.
So excited.
Yes. You boys are coming through.
Oh, I'm so excited. This is going to be a great party. It's your birthday.
It is.
Level 35?
Maybe.
Level 35.
Bam.
Allegedly. What does that mean over there?
Huh?
God, well,
are
grow
you
up.
Bullying?
Grow
up, bullying
Peter Pan.
Thing, the cone?
Grow up.
Is this your bullying thing?
Y'all haven't seen that?
No.
Of course you haven't.
No. Go ahead. Well, let's go to best and worst because I've seen that.
Have you?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're about to see it again.
Your best, Jake.
Well, my best for college football is Cade Klubnik.
Ooh, Cade coming in.
Like, and look, Cade's come in during the year sometimes, and has he looked just absolutely elite in every aspect? No, but you go back to that big drive against Wake Forest, being able to get through that game, and it wasn't like he just came in for any old game. This wasn't, you know, Mary Margaret and the Sisters of the Poor State. It's the ACC Championship, and you balled out. And you balled out. You knew after watching the first couple of DJU's throws that, like, it eventually was going to get taken out. But Cade came in a big moment and balled out, gives you a lot of momentum going into the offseason. Hey, Dabo, embrace the portal, man. Get a couple receivers for this guy. That's okay. Bring people in from the outside.
Like, I think Dabo's the same person who, like, the way he handles the transfer portal, if we handled immigration, nobody would ever come to the United States. They'd never be allowed in. You got to open up the transfer portal a little bit. Get this man some help. The skill position at Clemson's really gone down here lately, but Cade has a chance to be special. That's my best. And my worst, like I said yesterday, Garrett Riley.
Let him know.
Third down, Max Duggan, probably going to be the Heisman winner. Had literally run you back into the game. Had run you into overtime. And it's third and goal from inside the one, and you turn around and hand it off. Then on fourth and goal from inside the one, you turn around and hand it off. Stop getting cute, man. It's cute quarterback stick. If I'm Max Duggan, no, timeout. Timeout from the game, Waterboy style. I need to go talk to the head coach. I'm not even going to the OC. I'm going to the head coach. And like, oh boy, he's panicking over here. He's Jody Foster. It's Panic at the Disco. It's widespread panic. It's everything. How do you not quarterback sneak it twice? And like I said yesterday, I know you have it in. You're going under center. You went under center there, but you're going to turn around and hand the ball off twice? Do you know what can go wrong when you just turn around and hand the ball off? A lot. A lot. You might as well get in the shotgun. You might as well. I was shocked that Garrett Riley, who's a very smart offensive mind, who gets it, did something so unbelievably dumb. But it's like that guy in the courtroom who tried to sing to the judge. He said, I just want to say I'm sorry for the things I've done. I'm going to try and be stronger. Garrett Riley, you need to try and be stronger. You're lucky you're in the playoff. You get in that situation again. You sneak it. What do you do when mom's not in the kitchen and the cookie jar's open? You sneak it.
More than one.
Yes. Who's next?
I'll go. My best from college football this weekend has to be Kansas State. It has to be Kansas State. Look, all eyes on TCU and the conference, possibility of getting in the college football playoff. And what do? You avenge your 10-point loss from earlier in the season when you played them on the road. First outright Big 12 conference championship for Kansas State since 2003. You've won 10 games. You're going to go play in the Sugar Bowl. Just a fantastic performance. And look, I had them finishing nearly next to last in the Big 12 this year, just because we saw Oklahoma State last year and Baylor. I thought Baylor would continue to climb. Texas may be reemerging. Oklahoma, what Kansas State has done this year is truly phenomenal, and you got to give your hats off to them.
The backup quarterback was Jordan.
Well, I mean, Will had been playing for a while, but he was the backup. Even though I think if Adrian Martinez plays that game, TCU wins. I do want to say 2003 Kansas State, wasn't Jordy Nelson on that team?
Yes.
Was he?
Wasn't it Jordy Nelson and Josh Freeman?
I don't know about Josh.
Josh Freeman, that monster quarterback?
Oh, yeah. He could throw it 1,000 yards.
Yeah, I think him and Jordy Nelson were on that team. I can't remember if Sproles was on that team.
They went 11-4. They lost in the Fiesta Bowl.
At least it was a party.
Bill Snyder's year. But, yeah.
Bill Snyder was only 112.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you look at Kirby Smart got his second SEC championship. Dabo has a lot of ACC championships. Michigan, Jim Harbaugh now back-to-back. Utah back-to-back. But Kansas State emerging, rising up after
Tulane,
back-to-back,
too.
4-5.
Gotta give a shout-out to Willie Fitz.
And they're going to play in a New Year's Six Bowl.
They are.
Already Tulane. Starting to hear those Harbaugh NFL rumors.
Already?
Yeah. Who's surprised?
But if you're already hearing them, do they ever go away?
I don't know.
No.
I think they still go away.
At this point, as a Michigan fan, you want to hear it because that means you're doing something.
That's exactly right.
My best, this one kind of a little bit off, but it's DJU. I don't know if you saw, but...
Wait, what?
After the game, the post-game interview in a time to where transfer portal, you know, a lot of kids these days are about what? They're about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my decision, where I want to go, NIL this, NIL that. But for about 2 solid minutes, he sat there and just praised Cade Klubnik, the way he played, the way he carried himself, called him the MVP of the game after getting benched after the first or second drive. So to me, as a fan and even as a coach, you're in that perspective. It tells you a lot about Dabo Swinney and tells you a lot about DJU and just how much love he has for his teammates in a time where you really don't see that a lot. So I enjoyed listening to that. And my worst was, you know, I was kind of going back and forth on this, but I'm going to go Boise State. Me watching that game, I got worse watching that game from an offensive perspective. I mean, you can barely complete a pass. I don't know how we're in the college game today in 2022 where there's so much talent. There's more talent now than there's ever been in college football, especially at the quarterback position,
Agreed.
That we can't find a competent guy who can throw down the field or throw it 10 yards to somebody. There's levels to it, but still, I don't understand how you get to that point, even if it's your backup. So that's my best and worst for college.
I didn't get to my worst. It was North Carolina, though. My worst, North Carolina.
Cliff.
3 weeks ago, you had one loss to Notre Dame, who Clemson also lost to, and Syracuse lost to. You're sitting there with a chance, honestly, to get in the college football playoff. You know, it was still an outside shot, but possibly.
A shot.
Losses to Georgia Tech, NC State, and then Clemson back to back to back. You have two national championship winning coaches on that staff, Mack Brown, Gene Chizik. You got to figure out a way with Drake May at quarterback to finish late in the season.
What if I told you, well, I feel like one of those 30 for 30s, 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago that South Carolina would finish the season with more momentum than North Carolina?
Would I have been surprised? I did not expect South Carolina to beat Tennessee or Clemson. So, yes, that is surprising.
Do you remember how bad they looked against Florida?
Yes.
South Carolina did?
I was not surprised that North Carolina lost to NC State and Clemson back-to-back. We knew that those were going to be the two toughest defenses they faced. Mm-hmm. Add that with the Georgia Tech loss and the way that they lost. I mean, really, they like I said yesterday, they did better on third down in this game. They had more yardage. They had more. They had fewer penalties. But they still got blown out because you have more turnovers.
Yeah. All right, my best in the NFL is Joe Burrow. He's beaten Mahomes the pitch three times, which has to get you an Infinity Stone or something. I don't know. I'm trying to think who has beaten Patrick Mahomes three times in a row. And you look at that offense. I mean, Joe Mixon was out yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he didn't even play. Ja'Marr Chase back healthy. He was making it rain on the Kansas Chiefs DBs. That offense, man, I don't know how you stop it. If the offensive line could just keep it steady, this team may be going back to the Super Bowl.
There you go.
T. Higgins.
Come on board, Crane.
I tell you what, the more I watch T. Higgins.
Redwood.
Good Lord. What do you do with that tree? It moves like that new troll movie on Netflix. But my worst, the Broncos. Thank you, though. I went 7-0 in my bets yesterday.
Oh, I needed that Ravens money.
Because I needed it badly. I had three different bets that had the Ravens money. I was over there just holding on to my animals.
How'd you feel when Lamar went out?
I puked twice.
Oh, no. Only twice? Good for you.
Yeah, I know. not going to make that joke. Denver to me. I don't know how they're going to win. I don't know how you, I just don't know. I don't know. And, you know, you look at Cortland Sutton. I know he's been beat up. I mean, you still have Jerry Jeudy.
You've got the guys.
I mean, if I'm the defense, I'm like, man, we gave up 10 points, one touchdown. Really, like, Russell Wilson just is just gone. Like, his effectiveness is just gone. And that team, you can just see, just anytime the first thing starts going wrong, the Broncos just... That little voice in your head, right? It's the angel on the shoulder, devil on the shoulder. The devil's like, we're going to lose again. Mm. We're going to blow it again. We're the worst. We're terrible. I hate this. Sierra's back with Future. All type of stuff. But I just, again, the Broncos, it's awful. Is Nathaniel Hackett going to get fired?
When's the last time we saw a quarterback of Russell Wilson's caliber fall off a cliff like this?
When it's not due to injury, I can't remember.
I can't either.
I really can't remember a time.
I can't either.
And I think it speaks a lot to Seattle.
Pete Carroll's
built at Seattle, to be honest.
Guys, we all know what he has to do is he's not doing enough high knees. He's not doing enough before the game when he's like talking to himself like during drives. Here's what I would do if I was Russell Wilson. I would go home. I would just relax, not trying to impress anybody or pretend to be something I'm not. Then our next game, I would drive to the game. I would go out in pregame and maybe walk the field. I wouldn't do any more of the stuff where I'm on a knee like, all right, pretend people, here we go. It's like talking to the ghosts on Anchorman 2. And then I would walk the field and I would go back inside and I would shut up. And I would sit down and I'd be like, you know what? I'm going to play good today.
Well, you know, he had
I feel like he's just doing
his birthday was, I don't know, last week or the week before that. And it came out and only half the team showed up.
Wow. I mean,
remember off draft day, Kevin Costner.
Kevin Costner's not going to like that.
I mean, would you go to Russell Wilson's birthday? I would not. That sounds like a terrible time.
Sounds awful.
Why does it sound terrible?
Because they're like, here's how this probably went. All right, guys. Hey, hold on. I want everybody, you want to go to our room, everybody say something nice about Russell. Say something nice about Russell. And I bet half the people are like, man, the guy makes a great spinach dip. You know, I'm sure like none
Russell
of the compliments.
Does look like he makes a good spinach.
Oh, I'm sure he makes an unbelievable spinach dip. Really, I bet it's like perfect and the bowl's like themed for the spinach dip and there's like little things in it. And he's like, hey, I made a charcuterie board.
And that should be respected.
And that should be respected. That's like a good charcuterie board. Yeah. That is true. Reed has opened up my eyes.
Really?
To charcuterie. Whoever thought meat and
cheese.
First of all,
don't ever look me in the eyes and say that again. All right? Don't ever.
What?
Look, why?
Why not?
Reed's opened me up to charcuterie boards.
That's not how I said it, weirdo.
There's a new level of sophistication on this show.
Reed opened me up to charcuterie. I love the meats and cheeses. God, things are changing around here, fellas. You want me to do my best and worst?
No, I actually want David.
Jake's is bougie shut up now. Listen to me, so bougie. It's like, yeah, I got on my Italian kicks and I eat cheese.
Are you going to do the shoes again today? Are you going to do the shoes again today when you look like you're about to go pickleball with the rest of the guys at the PTA?
You look like you've never missed a 12 o'clock church on Sunday with those things on, Doug.
Good.
You're on there just singing the sermon.
Good. Well, you look like the guy who helps the guy who trains the tennis
player. Look like you're on the movie of Mark Wahlberg and then when they just fell off a cliff for 6 hours.
Yeah. What's it like going to the rec center to play basketball against kids that are younger than you?
I don't know. You're wearing Wallabies. What are you,
the best part about this? The other day when y'all were doing the boots, I had on shoes. It was great. Wanted to be left out of that. This week y'all have shoes. I have on boots. So I'm out of this completely.
Yeah.
Yeah. How long have you been trying to get on as an extra on Yellowstone?
Yeah.
Aren't these a little too nice to be cowboy boots, though?
I don't know. That look, maybe they're up in the
cowboy. And also, the answer to your question is since season one.
Yeah.
I mean, who hasn't?
You were in The Legend of Bagger Vance.
I'm here doing roping practice in the backyard trying to get on the show.
Kevin's the most interesting man in the world.
He really is.
Oh, all right. Who's doing the best and worst?
My best is Brock Purdy. All right.
Mr. Irrelevant
becomes Mr. Relevant. Jimmy G breaks his foot. Still looks great, though. Good for him. Brock Purdy, right now, the number one quarterback for the 49ers.
Did the Niners get better yesterday?
I think Brock played really well.
Let's see if he's
going
to play
better throughout the season. No Trey Lance, no Jimmy G. It's kind of probably changed the futures a little bit for the 49ers. My worst. Now, I kind of went back and forth on this with the Colts, man. You didn't just lose. You got drug. All right?
Well, that was a game for a while.
Until the third quarter started.
No, until about the end of the third quarter.
Yeah, it was the Cowboys
scored 33 points in the fourth quarter.
Well, either way, the final score is going to say you got drug. All right?
So you didn't just nobody's lose. Arguing that.
It was, hey, I got high socks on, a headband, we're at the Y. I'm going to show you a lot of fundamental moves here. Good for the Cowboys, but Colts, Jeff Saturday, it's not looking great.
Well, on the flip side of that, my best is the Cowboys.
Hey.
Yep, 54-19, 220 rushing yards, Dak 3 TDs, but more than just this game. More than just this game, guys. I think if you look around the landscape of the NFC right now, the Cowboys are positioned to be a Super Bowl contender. Yep. And I think if you get them in that situation, Dak Prescott can win a Super Bowl. Oh. I really do. Think about this right now. The AFC right now we know is stacked. All the teams in the AFC, Chiefs, Bills, Bengals, you can go down the list, okay? You're looking around, Tom Brady may not make the playoffs this year. May, but may not. Aaron Rodgers may not make the playoffs this year. Jimmy Garoppolo just got hurt on what could be the most talented team in the NFL, the 49ers. And then you're looking at the Eagles right now in the NFC. So if you could have an NFC championship between the Cowboys and the Eagles.
That looks like where we're going.
It could be that way. Now, I don't know how it would work out.
You have to see the seeding.
The seeding based off NFC East and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. All I'm saying is you have to really like the position the Cowboys are in right now and the way that Dak Prescott is playing, coming back from injury. That defense is stacked. CeeDee Lamb is finally becoming the star that we knew he could be. Dalton Schultz at tight ends playing well. Zeke and Tony Pollard both splitting reps I think is so huge. Ezekiel Elliott never once shunned Tony Pollard. Never once shunned him from coming in, never tried to take away reps. I think he realized Tony Pollard playing well in this backfield is better for me.
It's way better for me.
Because I can be 100% half the time rather than 50% all of the time.
Tony Pollard may buy Zeke an extra 2 years in the league.
That's such
like,
a
I'm not even Like, I'm not even yes. joking. Mm-hmm. Like, he may buy him an extra 2 years.
That's and that, there you go.
What do you think about Dak Prescott, Derek?
I'm going to get this
ahead.
Worst.
Go ahead. Oh, well, go ahead on Dak Prescott while we're on.
The relationship with CeeDee Lamb has been the biggest jump because if you watch, not that they didn't complete passes, but the chemistry wasn't really there like it is now, and that's such a home run threat. But getting Michael Gallup back and playing well and having that extra weapon, taking the pressure off of CeeDee Lamb, and then adding Dalton Schultz, a security blanket, especially on third and medium, that gives him an out, and Tony Pollard, who can catch the ball out of the backfield, that's deadly in the screen game. The Cowboys are so balanced and everybody's role is so defined that I think it makes it so much easier on Dak. You know, the thing with Dak was you knew where he was going with the ball most of the time, and you can blame some of that on maybe the lack of weapons for the Cowboys. But now that he can hit you with a couple receivers, he can kill you out of the backfield with the running back passing game. Dalton Schultz, like I said, at the tight end. There's not a weak spot in the skill positions. The Cowboys' offensive line's been playing well, and they're balanced offensively. They're able to run the ball. All of those things, I think, has made the decision-making easier for Dak. I think people are more getting more open. There's more separation for Dak. He's not having to make elite throws on the reg to be able to complete passes. Now, I've got to see Dak do it in the playoffs. This regular season stuff's great. It's awesome. We've seen Dak play well in the regular season. It's the playoffs when it matters. Not that he hasn't played good in the playoffs, but it's those last couple drives. Can him and C.D. Lamb do it in the playoffs? Can him and Dalton Schultz do it in the playoff late in the fourth quarter to seal a game versus the Eagles or somebody like that? That's the next and final step, I think, for Dak Prescott to us really start talking about him as a top 5 to 6 quarterback.
You got to remember the Cowboys have been doing it without their all-pro left tackle Tyrone Smith, and they might be adding Odell Beckham.
Possibly, yes. And the Cowboys are going to play the Eagles again on December 24th, Christmas Eve.
Where's that game at?
That game is...
In Philly?
That game is in Dallas. Dallas has already gone to Philly.
Yep.
And right. Philly still has to play the Giants twice as well. Now, the Philly still sit atop the NFC East at 11. The Eagles still sit atop the
Phillies never sat atop the NL East. They got lucky and won the Wild Card.
Still won the World Series. But that's my point. One of these teams is going to have to come from the Wild Card spot. And right now, Dallas 9-3, but they're going to get another shot at the Eagles, and the Eagles are going to have to play the Giants twice. All right, and speaking about the Giants, that's my worst. Any sport that can end in a tie.
Yeah.
2020 tie with the Commanders. I'm going to get into this more later in the week, but I can't get down with it.
Ties belong at Joseph A. Bank.
Joseph A. Bank.
That's where they were.
College kids.
Are you going to get into it on a Wednesday? Like, or?
Maybe. Ooh. Maybe. Oh. College kids can play 6 overtimes, and y'all can't figure out the winner of the football game. We only get 17 of these.
Oh,
it's not like you play football all year.
Preach to me, Dave. Preach to me.
All right.
I love it. All right, you want to go to the Bush Club?
Real quick before we go over there, guys. I get asked all the time by people that are starting podcasts or have shows. They're like, hey, I have merch. I'm trying to grow my business. I'm trying to find a way to make it organized because, like me, when I started out just doing the J-Boy show, I had no idea about any of this stuff. But our friends over at Shopify can help you turn your goat of a product into the greatest of all time sale. All right, it's the all-in-one commerce platform for starting, running, and growing your business. Sign up for a free trial. Go do this literally right after the show if you have time and you're not driving at shopify.com/crane, all lowercase. That's C-R-A-I-N, not like the bird. That's shopify.com/crane to start selling online today. Shopify.com/crane. They have 24/7 report, free on-demand business courses. They're in your corner every step of the way, every minute. New sellers around the world score their first sell with Shopify. And if you hear this noise, that means you made a sale, which means you're paid, which means aren't you glad that you listened to this ad?
It's the perfect sound.
And it really is.
Perfect sound. When you hear that, you know you're making money.
Yeah. I literally, every time I hit a bet, that noise goes off in my ear.
Gotcha.
I literally hear the cha-ching. All right, Blaine, what's the Booster Club saying?
Booster Club, let's go to Seth Crawford. All right, $5 donation. Appreciate that, Seth. Says, is there a college football prop bet on Jalen Carter picking up QBs like toddlers? I said this pre-show. Jalen Carter is now paying child support for Jaden Daniels.
No, for sure. Like, in the Constitution, if you do what Jalen Carter did, you have to now pay child support.
Can you imagine being the offensive lineman next to him and looking at a defense lineman during the middle of a play,
holding him up with one arm,
picking your quarterback up with one arm and the number one. But the other one's like, guys, we're going to lose.
Like, if I'm an NFL scout and there was any
he's the number one pick.
There was like, guys, listen, we can look at 40 times. We can look at, you know, grades. We can talk to his cafeteria teacher. I'm just going to play this clip and everybody's going to shut up. All right, he's a human being, apparently. That was wild to see. And I think people didn't really realize it until after the game. That's when I really started seeing it on social media that he did that. It was like, you know, when you got two kids and, you know, you got one of them right here in your shoulder and the other one's running around and you're trying to catch them, but you're
going
to be
going full dad mode?
Yeah, going full dad mode, doing a full
That's what he did.
That's what he did.
Full dad mode.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Did y'all see what he did to the right tackle on the goal line? It haunts my dreams.
Yeah. You couldn't block that dude on social media.
Is he opting out? Is he going to just, you know, focus on the NFL?
No.
Maybe opt out for the postseason?
Well, you would hope so if you're going to have to run into him if you're Michigan. But if I'm Ohio State and I'm watching that, yeah, let's run away from him. Run away. Check. Can.
I love it. Let's go to Steve Action Figure Frenzy $5 donation.
Steve.
Back at it. Cone, you'll say Michigan State. Hell, Cone, you'll even say Penn State. Why not Ohio State? The O-H-I-O argument is hot dog water.
Hot dog water.
He already said it, though.
Hot dog water. That's what they say to me. O-H-I-O. That's what they say. Hatred runs deep.
It does.
All right, let's go to Dakota Blackburn here. Hashtag Ask Crandon Company. How about Troy taking Coastal Carolina behind the woodshed with that absolute beatdown win for the Sun Belt and the great job Summerall did? I don't know, but someone on the show said Troy was going to beat him pretty bad. Oh, wait, that was me.
Was that your pick?
I had Troy Moneyline in parlay that I hit Saturday. I'll say this. Coastal, you got a lot going on right now, okay? Jamie, and this takes nothing away from Troy. It was an absolute murder. I watched the whole game from the jump. Coastal Carolina walked around the corner. Troy jumped out with a baseball bat, kneecapped him, and then tried to crawl back into the bar. It didn't work. Jamie Chadwell is going to Liberty. You had heard, you know, things about Jamie before that. He may be leaving. You see what happens, guys, when players know, okay? Players have a feel. You look what happened at Liberty against New Mexico State. You look what happened against Coastal Carolina there at Troy. That takes nothing away from how Troy played. But I do want to say I think it did have an effect. But John Summerall, look at the state of Alabama, guys. Troy and South Alabama both balled this year.
Yeah.
But double-digit win teams, playing in good bowl games. It was a good year for the state of Alabama in football, for the little guys in the Sun Belt. So I do want to give credit to Troy. Like I said, Tulane as well. You know, I thought it was a cool backstory they were talking about with Tulane almost getting the program shut down. They had the point-shaving scandal and then obviously Hurricane Katrina. And seeing the picture of a young Mac Brown taking over as the head coach and AD, Jackie Moon and the whole thing at Tulane. Seeing Mac Brown that young was kind of fun to see. I'd never seen a picture of him that young.
Congrats to
them. Where did Mac Brown play?
Mac Brown played at...
Right down the street at Vanderbilt.
Did he really?
He did. Played running
at Vanderbilt.
Played running.
Wow.
Yep.
Do you think the Sun Belt will emerge as the most dominant Group of Five conference?
With the American losing what they're losing, I don't think that's a crazy thing to say. I think the Sun Belt has done such a good job of adding teams. You look at James Madison, what they were able to do year one. Going all the way back to South Alabama and Coastal Carolina, then you add Marshall and Southern Miss. I mean, this is turning into a really, really, really good, talented, and deep conference. Old Dominion is a place where you can win. I look at the Sun Belt, and the future is super bright. Some of these teams are going to get poached. They're going to get poached eventually, but they've done such a nice job of elevating teams that not only were from FCS, but didn't have programs as well. So, I mean, you know, App State being in there, it's just a
just think about Appalachian State being Texas A&M this year, yep, and Georgia Southern beating Nebraska.
And South Alabama.
Marshall beating Notre Dame. Unbelievable.
Sun Belt's going to cause a lot of headaches for a lot of teams early in the year in college football.
Sun Belt, Fun Belt, baby.
Yep.
All right, a couple things here. Heather Mama, a little under the weather, but I'm here, y'all. It's still going to be a great day.
Hope you feel better.
Club. Feel better, Heather, and go ahead and get that badge changed to me.
No.
Let's go to...
What does she have right now?
Jake.
Mm.
Let's go and get
Heather Mama, keep it. You know what's up.
Caleb Shee, 2232, tell us your best dad joke. Y'all got any good dad jokes?
Yeah. What did her father?
What did I heard one last week. What was it? She was sweeping up with the broom, and she said the broom gave me splinters. And the dad said, next time take the car.
Nice.
I got one.
A witch joke. Before Witch of the Week this week, you know?
That is good. What are the two things you can't eat for breakfast? Don't say it, Blaine.
Can I say it?
No.
It's my favorite thing to say.
What are the two things you can't eat for breakfast?
Lunch and dinner.
How you doing?
Yes. Like you can't tell dad jokes to a dad.
My wife told me to get more in touch with my feminine side. So I crashed the car and ignored her for the rest of the day.
Whoa. Nice. Whoa. That's a good one.
Let's go to Devil Dog 99999. Thoughts on Deshaun Watson's return at Cleveland. Really went balls out, fellas.
As I said, As I said Friday on the show, he's going to be rusty. Mm. You can practice, you can practice, and you can practice. It's so impossible to simulate exactly the speed of the game, the feeling of the game, the way it works out. I think we're going to see him improve, but man, he didn't look good. Thank goodness the Texans, Kyle Allen, had to have money on that game. Boy, if I'm Kyle, I'd rather run the Wildcat than have Kyle Allen in there. But that was one of the ugliest, worst, nastiest games. But I do want to say thank you to Kyle Allen, to hitting Nico Collins for that touchdown, to lose by 13 when I had you at plus 14.5 and the under 52.5 on one bet. And then I had you in my big 17 parlay that hit plus 14.5. That plus the Ravens winning, that's what fueled the fire there.
Deshaun did not look great. But you see Donovan Peoples-Jones return that, return for a touchdown?
Yeah. I had the Browns defense on fantasy. Got me 34 points.
Nice. I had the Cowboys. They got me 22, but too bad the rest of my team decided not to show up. We're just blowing it at the end of the year. Mm. Derrick Henry, 5 points. Travis Kelce doesn't do anything.
How does Derrick Henry have 5 points?
It's just disgusting because you got Ryan. I don't even want to say his last name because it makes me worse as a football player. Ryan Tannehill at quarterback. Get rid of this guy. He stinks. What do you do when your dog goes to the bathroom outside at a park? You clean it up and you throw it away. All right, I'm sick of watching Ryan Tannehill go to the bathroom outside every Sunday. Let's just put it that way. The dude's a walk-in trash can. He should be paid by the city and come around every Thursday morning.
All right, I had him booked for an interview next week.
Good. Bring him on here. Bring him in person. See if he can throw a ball from you to me.
Oh, man.
All right, let's go to Garrett Frank. Garrett Frank says, how do you cut pizza?
With, I don't know.
David?
You slice
Little Caesars. Like Little Scissors? Little Caesars?
Ah, I get it. Okay. Ooh. Okay. It's a dad joke. We said dad jokes.
Right. Let's go to Cone's High Water Pants. Mm. Hashtag Ask Kramer to come to you. Do you think the Browns have hired a dedicated male masseur for Watson or massage?
A male masseuse?
Masseuse.
Be the great. It's a high IQ play. That's a high IQ play.
How bad now,
if you get
win.
Trouble with that one, that's we're opening up a whole new bag.
All right, let's go to Brock McNeil, hashtag Ask Crane Company. As a Notre Dame fan who isn't a believer in Bunchner yet, why do you think that Pine is transforming, and where do you think the best fit for him is?
I think Pine transferring because I think he kind of sees the writing on the wall. Look, Buckner can really run. We know that. His throwing ability needs to improve, but I think the kid does have a pretty high ceiling. I think you're going to see Drew Pine end up at a group of five. I wouldn't be shocked to see Drew Pine end up at Western Kentucky or somewhere like that. Sunbelt, maybe. I think he's 5'9", which, look, there are guys that are 5'9 and can get away with it. I just don't think Drew Pine is one of those guys. I think you're going to see a transfer quarterback coming to Notre Dame at some point, and him and Buckner are going to battle it out. Now, who that's going to be, I don't know, but it doesn't need to be Phil Jurkovic. I'm just telling you, that dude's overrated. And we had a buddy of ours who really knows tell us that before the season, and he ended up being right. All right, Cone, let's go to rapid fire.
Let's do it. Drew Pine, 5'11".
5'11". In the program?
That's a good question.
Yeah. That man's 5'9".
Jimmy Garoppolo, we talked about a little bit, but we'll miss the rest of the season with a broken foot.
Hate to see it. It's not like Jimmy G was setting the world on fire, but you never want to see anybody get hurt. I'm interested to see how Brock does. Mm. It's one thing if Jimmy G got hurt last week, you have the whole week to prepare, you know you're going to be the guy. Mm-hmm. It's a totally other thing when it's like, hey, Brock, Jimmy's hurt. You got to go in for the whole game and play the Dolphins, who can score at will, even though Tua looked like he was just lost in that first half. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple times in the second half. It just absolutely blew your mind. But I hate it for Jimmy G. It does seem like he's always hurt. He's a walking triage tent. The dude's a walking ER. But I'm interested to see how Brock Purdy does. Because I remember Brock Purdy at Iowa State had a lot of witch in him. Did some interesting things. He can run. He looked really confident. I really liked his throws in the intermediate game. We'll see with the vertical ball. But when you have weapons like Debo Samuel and Christian McCaffrey and Brandon Ayuk and Jawan Jennings and the offensive line that they have, I think Brock has a chance to be as good, maybe if not a little bit better than Jimmy G as we get down the stretch. Now, I know that
schedule's not terrible.
It's not that tough. But I'm now you're the guy. Trey Lance sitting there. Trade deadline's gone. Not a bunch of free agents walking on the street you can pick up and that are going to go play better than Brock Purdy. This is Brock Purdy's team. Let's see what he does with it. I get some Heinicke vibes from Brock Purdy. I really do. By the way, Taylor made some throws yesterday, including one rolling to his left on fourth down to keep them in the game on that last touchdown drive to Curtis Samuel. Mm-hmm. That was just, I mean, it's one of the best throws I've seen all year.
So the regular season, the 49ers have Tampa Bay, they go to Seattle, Washington at home, to the Raiders and the Cardinals at home. Every game winnable.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
Yeah,
too
a couple bad. Of those losable too, though.
For
yeah.
sure.
Brock Purdy, 25 of 37, 210, two TDs, one interception. I mean, like you said, just coming off the bench.
Dude, it was a hell of a performance.
Think of Jimmy G.
Cost me $1,100.
Cole wasn't out there. He's a superstar. Go put up 300 passing yards every game. He stays in what? Stays in the mm-hmm. offense. Let the playmaker make plays. You have receivers. You have the best receivers when it comes to yards after catch. So just get the ball in these guys' hands and let them go. And I think Brock Purdy can do that.
Yeah. Next one, Deion Sanders. We talked about it a little bit. Going to be the head coach at Colorado. In his first address to the team, he came in and said, I'm bringing my own luggage with me. It's Louis Vuitton. My son's going to play quarterback, and y'all should hop in the transfer portal.
Look, here's where I'm at with this. You know, the argument was for the players, the coaches can go wherever they want, and that's fine. Oh, well, the coaches can get paid for their name, image, and likeness, and we can't. You got everything you wanted. You can transfer wherever you want, including to the school right down the road at any with no repercussion or having to sit out a year. You can get paid for your name, image, and likeness, and you're on a full scholarship. You're a commodity now. I'm sorry. It is what it is. You wanted to be in the business world, and I understand it. I get it. I'm glad. Now, there's some things with the transfer portal I want to tweak, but you can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't say, I want to make this money, and I want to be treated like the coaches, because guess what happens to coaches? They get fired. So if you're not good enough at your position, okay, and the coach doesn't want to play you or says, you know, it may be best if you need to go to the transfer portal because I don't think you're ever going to play here, that's you getting fired. Now there's no more woe is me. Oh, the players are at such a disadvantage. This and that for the players. And I was a player's coach. Always was. It comes down to the players. But you can't say on one hand, we want to be treated like the coaches. And then when you get treated like the coaches, you get upset that you got fired. Like, it just is what it is.
Well, I hate that for college football.
I'm not saying it's
a lot of
these
kids aren't
ever.
Getting any money from NIL. These
well,
no,
again, though. It's important. The opportunity there. You control it. There's a lot of kids that are getting money that don't even play or aren't even that good. Robbie Ashford just signed a $110,000 NIL deal.
So do you think that Deion Sanders should be able to come in and just get rid of any players that he wants?
Yes.
Colorado team?
Yes.
Really? So these kids have made a 4-year commitment to this school, and the new coach coming in can just say, you don't play here anymore.
Wait.
I don't know if that's what Deion was saying.
But based off his comment,
when Nick Saban a lot of coaches process kids at Alabama right when he got in there? It's called trimming the fat. It happens anyway.
Look, Rich Rodriguez came in. He didn't want me to play quarterback at Michigan. He ran a completely different system.
And those people
but he never
paid.
Came in and said anything as classless as this to us.
Well, I think what he said was, if you want to get in the transfer portal, mm-hmm. then hop in there. Because if you're not in, you're all the way out. He didn't go in there and say, guess what? You're not playing. Oh, you're trash. I've watched you get in the transfer portal. But what I'm saying is, if a coach wants to go in there, now that they can get paid, okay? And now that you can transfer, because again, back in the day, if you had to transfer, you had to sit out. If you wanted to go from Colorado to Cal, you had to sit out. Because mm-hmm. as a coach now, how do you build a culture when players can just leave with no repercussions at any point in time? It's even. It is as even as I've ever seen it in college football when it comes down to what the coach's abilities are to be able to do and what the player's abilities are and able to do. Now it's turned on the other foot of, well, coach can get fired if y'all don't play good. You don't play good, you can get fired. Like the 4-year commitment thing, you're on a full scholarship. You can get NIL. You can leave and go wherever you want, down, up, sideways, or left. The whole woe is, that's the part that's sad to me with college football, is that makes it much more of a business. We all know it's a business, but it makes it a lot like the NFL. Because what is the transfer portal and mixed with NIL? It's free agency, like the NFL. It's one thing to pay for a high school kid. Yeah, that's not a certain thing. That's not a known thing. There's been guys that are 5 stars, number one players in the country that didn't do anything. Like, but when you're in the transfer portal, if I've watched Jordan Addison win the Biletnikoff at Pitt, I probably know at USC what I am getting with Jordan Addison. To me, you wanted an even playing field. Now you got it. And the good comes with the bad. You can't have your cake and eat it too. And it's a great business lesson for these kids. It's a great life lesson. If you want something and you get it and you're on the even playing field, you got to be ready for the bad part of it too. But I think what Dion was saying back to Blaine's point was, if you're not all the way in, then you're all the way out. And I am bringing players from Jackson State that are going to come in here and play. I would much rather a coach come up to me and say, look, Jake, we're bringing in an All-American tight end. He's going to start out as number one on the depth chart. I want to let you know, not that you can't win it from him, not that we don't want good competition, but I want you to know he is coming in to play. So now you can make a decision based on facts whether you need to stay or leave, as opposed to coming in there and being like, guess what? We don't know yet. When you're in the coaching staff, I've been in those meetings. When you're in the staff meeting and they're like, hey, you know Derek's going to start a tight end, right? We're just going to tell Will this so in case Derek gets hurt, he can come in and play and we won't be screwed at tight end. I would much rather you go about it that way.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Let's go to Devil Dog 9999 Daily Wire Trade. Say, who plays QB for the Buckeyes next season? Did they catch a transfer?
You're already going, oh.
You know the backup? For the Buckeyes? I don't know because it's all C.J. Stroud. Look, I'm sure Ohio State's recruited fine. I mean, we got guys like Joe Burrow having to transfer out because you can't play. I'm not worried about Ohio State at quarterback.
No, they'll be fine. They'll be fine. Jamie Chadwell, too.
Yes.
Talk about Jamie Chadwell is going to take the job at Liberty.
Yep. So we had Jamie Chadwell, and we talked about this yesterday a little bit, we're just messing around on the phone. You know, is it somewhat of a lateral move? Yes. But Liberty was paying Hugh Freeze $5 million a year. I feel like, and Coastal is in a great spot in the Sun Belt. It's a great place. Do you not feel like Liberty, who's independent, maybe one of these teams that slides into maybe like the American or something like that? Which to me right now, with the teams that are in it, I know they're leaving. The American is a little bit above the Sun Belt. Was a little surprised at that because Jamie has built a lot of equity there. But I think the growth potential at Liberty, even though it's very high at Coastal, I mean, Liberty is one of the very few Group of Five places that has more growth potential than Coastal Carolina does. But then you look at Tim Beck going, you know, unbelievable quarterback coach going to Coastal Carolina. I thought that was a great hire as well.
Nice. And then Alec Golish at USF.
I remember him at Iowa State with Matt Campbell. Met Golish a lot, really happy for him. Went to Tennessee and his profile really blew up. Going to implement that system. I think you're going to see a very similar style at UCF, which I think fits UCF, or USF, I'm sorry, very well. UCF, we know, is going to the Big 12 from the American Conference. So good. I'm very happy for Golish, and I think he's going to do well.
Love it. Blaine?
Yeah, let's go to Ross Bryan. All right, he says, can we give a shout-out to Lake Wales High School in Central Florida for winning the state semis to remain undefeated on the season? Go Highlanders.
Let's go Highlanders.
Lake Wales
High School. To see it.
My dad's down there right now in Lake Wales.
Oh, okay.
My best friend Mark lives down there.
Nice.
Yeah. Let's go.
Nice.
It's always good to have a friend.
Shout-out Lake Wales.
Let's go to Travis Elrod, hashtag Ask Jake. He says, I've always wondered this definition. How do you define the term players coach?
I think a lot of it is, it's a lot of different things. So, you know, you have some coaches that aren't great socially, that don't communicate well with the players in a way that's not just authoritarian. They don't really know how to do it. I think being a player's coach is somebody that understands how important that relationship is on and off the field with the player. I think it's, you know, always having the players back when it is warranted in certain situations, giving guys chances to grow, not seeing them just as tools, but seeing them as not as human beings, because coaches do see them as human beings, but understanding that putting a lot into the whole person as just opposed to the athlete gets way more out of the athlete than just treating them just like players. I think as well, it's knowing them. It's knowing what makes them laugh, knowing what makes them cry, knowing what their home situation is, and understanding what that opportunity can do for, you know, all of them, not just kids that come from bad socioeconomic backgrounds, but kids that come from great backgrounds. There are rich kids that are terrible people. There are rich kids that are great people. There are poor kids that are terrible people. There are poor kids that are great people. Same thing for the middle class. I think a player's coach is somebody that's just more involved in their life and really knows them, as opposed to viewing them as, this is my quarterback, I've got to do A, B, and C, and D. I think that's what it is.
And that was one of the things that kind of disappointed me when we were talking about the Deion Sanders first comments to Colorado, because when Deion Sanders came into Jackson State, that's what he said, right? He said, you know, I'm coming in to be a mentor. What we're doing here is important at Jackson State, at an HBCU. This is more than just football. I want to be a leader of young men. This is an opportunity for young black men across the country to come and further their education. And then his first address at Colorado is basically, well, I'm coming in. My son's going to play quarterback, and y'all can leave if you don't want to be here.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine if a white coach took over at Jackson State and came in and his first address was, I'm bringing all my own players, and my son's going to play quarterback, so y'all can hop in the
portal. They'd get a special count.
Would the news have been a little different today?
Yeah. Oh, it'd have been.
Would the news have been a little different? Yeah. Then that's a problem.
Yeah. No,
And that's a problem.
It's a true double standard. Yeah. That's very true. But that's society we live in.
Let's go to Sydney Dockstater. What's up, Sydney? Says, hashtag Ask Crane and Company. How about them Utah Utes, fellas? Huge win for them. They not only won, beat them up a little bit.
Kyle Whittingham is the most underrated coach in college football. It's just the truth. Mm-hmm. Name one that's more underrated. Jeff Traylor, maybe? UTSA?
Jeff Traylor is probably the closest one.
Like him and Jeff Traylor. I mean, Dave Doran. You know, I know NC State didn't have the year a lot of people thought, but if you look at Dave Doran's record at NC State and what he's doing, those would be the three that I would put in there. Willie Fritz would probably be the fourth. I think Willie Fritz would be in there as well.
Man, what Utah did was so impressive. I had them winning the conference, so that was good. Felt good to get one right. I feel like Washington and Oregon were kind of on the outside looking in on that.
But by the way, did you see Michael Penix Jr.'s coming back?
Is he officially coming back?
I believe he's officially coming back. Washington future is about one, yeah. to be a
put a little problem. Heisman future on that.
Yes.
That's absolute.
I think he already has a kick this year.
Hose, rocket.
Hand cannon.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go to Snack 7, hashtag Ask Crane and Company. What do you think about Hendon Hooker to the Titans?
No, I wouldn't do that. You already drafted Malik Willis. But I mean, I think this tumbler to the Titans now.
You know where Hendon Hooker should go? Colts.
Colts.
Ooh, I kind of like that fit.
Colts.
I feel like that'd be a really good fit for Hendon.
I like that too.
All right, one more.
Stephen Moore says, what do you call a crying karate instructor?
You call him a Jew don't cry?
Cone, you got anything?
I'm not going to even take a stab at that one.
Sensitive.
Ooh. Pretty good.
I like that. All right. If you want to watch the rest of this, remember, if you want to listen to it, just stay here. Head over to Daily Wire Plus, become a member, or listen on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe, leave a 5-star review, and share it with all your friends, or my son's going to play quarterback. We're coming back with a Monday Night Football preview, college basketball shoot-around, and bets. All right. Monday Night Football preview. Y'all ready?
Let's do it. Saints at the Bucs.
The under. All right, there we go. Monday Night Football preview that was brought to you by Monday Night Football Preview.
Something more important. All right. We need to start getting a little Christmassy on the set.
We need to start getting
a little Christmassy on the set.
It's time.
Well, like when do I start wearing ugly sweaters every day? Ugly Christmas
sweater. Ooh, a little ugly sweater week maybe? Yeah.
There's nothing
mix it up.
Ugly sweater Christmas.
It is a lot of fun. Just don't get the ones that itch. Those are the ones that are worse.
Don't tell me how to live my life.
I'll tell you how to live your life.
Okay.
Tell you right now. Maybe a wreath back here. A little wreath of
Franklin. Well, do we get a little mini Christmas tree?
I'm down with it.
You down with that?
Let's do that.
Down with it. Yeah,
I'm just trying to convince
Reed
to
decorate it
Christmas
together.
Tree in every room of the house right now.
You too?
This is our first Christmas in our new house.
Mm.
So, like, it's
serious.
Blitzkrieg.
Yeah,
it's
serious.
It's everywhere. It's like a Christmas bomb's going to explode in the house. It's gonna be like, you know how they do it like on HGTV when they like fix up the house and they show it before, then they do the wipe away and it's like something totally different.
Yeah.
That's what my house.
Y'all remember
that
show?
It's gonna look like the North Pole.
Move that bus. They build a new house and they move that big bus.
The funniest ones are when the people don't like it.
They hate.
They're like, move that bus. And the woman's like,
Home Edition, yeah.
Extreme Makeover,
yeah.
Gotcha. Some of them hate it.
Oh God,
yeah.
They pull a bus and be like, "What is that?
Burn it down! How much is the insurance?"
Yeah.
All right. Speaking about burning it down, the Saints are going to attempt to play football tonight.
Yep.
It's going to be interesting to see. Alvin Kamara, is he healthy? Blaine, is he playing?
Does it matter?
No, doesn't matter. look, Dennis Allen, I think he's living on borrowed time, and the Saints still have a chance. That's the funniest part. That's how bad the NFC South is. Look, the Bucs. We all know what happened against the Browns. A crazy game, really ugly, but they still lead the NFC South. I think Tom Brady and them are pissed off. I like the Bucks tonight. We're going to get to it in the bets. I tell you, a bet you probably need to take that I didn't take, but I saw literally 3 minutes ago. Ryan Succop over 7.5 total points. I mean, two field goals and two extra points or three field goals. I mean, with the way the Buccaneers play and the way the Saints defense is in the red zone with Dennis Allen, man, that feels like a good bet. But I think you're going to see Mike Evans get going a little bit tonight. I like Godwin. He's out there painting pretty pictures, the artist. Leonard Fournette in that run game needs to get it going. That's what Tom's got to have it. They've been just way too one-dimensional. They've really been no-dimensional, if you want to be honest about it, on offense. But when it comes to the Saints, you know, with Andy Dalton, you know who Andy Dalton is. Olave's got to get rocking and rolling, but it's Alvin Kamara. I mean, this offense is going to go or die with Alvin Kamara, and they've died a lot because Alvin – how many touchdowns does Alvin have?
He has four touchdowns.
Four touchdowns.
I believe he got all those touchdowns in 1 week.
Yeah. It's just – it's been a bad year for the Saints. I'm very interested to see how they move on going forward with Dennis Allen. Cone, what's your feelings on this
one? So – I'm looking right now, Bucks 5-6, losing records right now, Saints tonight. The next two games at the 49ers, that game's a little more interesting with Jimmy Garoppolo going out, and then the Bengals at home. Okay, so I'm thinking you have to get to even 500
You've
right
got
now
to.
Tonight. You have to figure out a way to beat this same.
It's your best case 1-1 in those next
two. And then after those next two, you finish at Cardinals, Panthers at home, and then at the Falcons. And you're right here in the mix of a playoff hunt, trying to win the division. So, you know, it's going to be interesting how the NFC South shakes out.
I believe Leonard Fournette's back for the Buccaneers.
He is.
He's going to play tonight.
I almost took him anytime touchdown.
Which is big for him. I don't know if he's going to be a limited snaps. I don't know his snap count in this game. But I like the under in this game for sure. Saints defense, extremely good. Secondary, extremely good. Both teams really lackluster up front. On offense. So, you know, I don't expect a lot of points in this game. I'd be somewhat weary for the 7.5 just because I don't know how many points.
I thought it was 3.5.
No, 7.5 for the field goal bet. You were
talking. Oh,
because both these teams, you know, Tom's somewhat struggled with the Saints. There's going to be fights. You know, Mike Evans, Marshawn Lattimore are going to get into it. That's 100%. If there's a prop bet on DraftKings of Marshawn Lattimore and Mike Evans get into it.
Is Lattimore going to play?
That's the question.
He's had that ab injury.
Yeah. Well, hey, he doesn't need to play to be able to fight.
Yeah, this is true.
That's very true.
I do think the Bucks win this game, though. I think they're just a better team. Andy Dalton, hashtag don't believe in it.
All right, we're going to start getting a little college basketball in here more.
Love
and more.
It.
Very excited to get Jimmy Dykes on Wednesday. Obviously, we know we're going to keep talking about football and the NFL and the transfer portal and coaching changes. And was thinking, maybe at the turn of the year, guys, do we bring back an old J-Boy special? Maybe recruiting Wednesdays?
I love it.
Recruiting
maybe
Wednesdays?
Maybe bring Lil Fong on here.
Throw the portal in
somebody
there as well?
From On 3 to come in here and rock
little
and roll.
Portal recruiting talk?
Yeah, look, we can look each other in the eyes and figure it out. College basketball shoot-around, Cone, what do we got?
North Carolina, four straight losses. We talked about when they lost to Iowa State.
Yeah.
Then they lost to Alabama. Then they lost a top 10 matchup against Indiana, and now they've lost to Virginia Tech.
Here's where I'm at. Typically, I don't panic early in basketball seasons. I don't get too excited early in basketball seasons because we all know we want to be playing our best, whoever team you root for, towards the end of the year. But four losses in a row for a team that returned this amount of players that won a national championship last year, including Caleb Love and Baycott.
Leaky Black.
Now I wouldn't panic. I wouldn't DEFCON 1 this thing. But I'm starting to get a little bit worried. And Hubert Davis, look, you came in first year and won a natty, in my opinion, even though you returned these guys, you're playing with house money this year. But four in a row, I don't care if it was all four to top 10 teams, and I know Virginia Tech isn't, but North Carolina is just playing disorganized basketball right now. When I watch them play, it's so interesting to watch a team that, like I said, returned so many guys that played together, not just in games, but in huge games and won huge games. These guys sent Coach K out in the raft with two L's, including one in the natty. By the way, how crazy could it be to have Duke, North Carolina in the national championship game for basketball last year and possibly Michigan?
Well, it was Kansas.
Kansas, North Carolina. I'm talking, they beat Duke twice.
Final Four.
In the Final Four. To have Duke play North Carolina in the Final Four in college basketball and then have Michigan play Ohio State possibly.
That would be something.
That's wild.
Yeah, one thing, though, Kansas did beat North Carolina in the championship.
Yes, that's what I meant. Sorry. I was thinking of North Carolina versus Duke.
Yep, that was the Final Four. That was crazy. We were there, front and center. Also, Louisville, 0-8, And this Florida is, State, 1-9.
You know, look, I do want to say this about Kansas. Grady Dick is unbelievable. If you haven't watched that kid play.
Superstar.
Haru, the Great White Ninja. He's got Tyler Hero written all over him.
Yeah, superstar.
I haven't seen him.
Cone.
Really?
Yeah. It's like Jimmy Chitwood and Tyler Hero got hybrid cloned into one.
How old is he?
He's a freshman, I believe.
He's like 12.
Yeah.
He's like 12.
He just turned 12.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you got eighth graders winning state titles now in Alabama.
So. Yeah, playing quarterback. Yeah,
everybody, when Kenny Payne got this Louisville job, was like, what a hire, unbelievable hire, and I think he's going to be fine. It's hard to go 0-8. It's not like they went 0-8 against unbelievably elite teams. Okay, they've played some decent teams, some good teams, but 0-8 is horrible. And if I'm a Louisville fan right now, I'm looking at, you know, Chris Mack, you know, over there just...
Mm-hmm. Got to look on the other side. Maryland's looking really good.
So yeah.
Maryland.
Yeah.
Yep. Kevin Willard took, I think, 15-17 last year. Lost your two best scores. They're looking pretty solid. Maryland's always a team to watch out for when it comes to...
Always.
I remember watching Coach Turgeon.
They always got some guys running
there when he was there. Maryland was a problem as well.
ACC, SEC, yes. Hoops Challenge.
Yes.
Yes.
I love this. I want us to do this in football, just week one. ACC, SEC challenge, week one. You show me yours, I'll show you mine. Like, you remember it was the SEC Big 12 challenge last year, and that's how it was. We've had, like, the Big 10 ACC, I believe. Mm-hmm. It's going to be 23-24. I love this. This is so much fun for me. One of my favorite parts about college basketball season. Because, look, you get bragging rights. What do they say? One ring to rule them all, right? And in darkness shall bind them. And it always will.
I love it.
Just the truth.
That's all I got for basketball right now.
Good. Nice little shoot-around segment right there.
Yes, sir.
By the way, Bama plays Houston coming up here soon.
When is that game?
In a couple days, I think.
Hold on.
There's not a lot of great games.
Alabama, y'all just not be good at
something. Well, they go to the NCAA tournament and fall apart.
I know, but just please, like, for one time.
Look, now. Sweet 16 at best.
Really?
Nate Oates goes to NCAA tournament and just forgets when he's not a
basketball. I believe that they can win.
I'll tell you right now, though. When Brandon Miller's cooking, oh, like that dude's different.
I don't see
first pick?
I think so.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking right now.
Ooh, Alabama, Houston this Saturday, December 10th. That's the birthday party, boys.
We got Army, Navy, and Bama, Houston in basketball.
At 2 o'clock. At 2 o'clock. Yes, there you go.
Nice.
All right, let's go. You got anything else on basketball?
No, I'm just looking. Kansas plays that night as well. And then Arizona, Indiana also played that this Saturday night. Dude, Arizona, Indiana plays.
I love college football, but
on Rick Majerus' anniversary.
Yeah.
Death, RIP Rick Majerus.
All right, you want to go to Bush Club here?
Let's do it.
Go to Daniel Busby, hashtag ask the guys. Will Georgia win three natties? I believe so. Young team with lots coming back. They will put Saban in retirement. Pass the torch. Hashtag New Dynasty. Hashtag love the show. You guys are appreciated. Love you, Daniel.
Love you, Daniel.
Does he mean three in a row? Like win three
in
a row?
Yeah.
I mean, they got a chance.
I wouldn't doubt it at this point.
They got a chance.
Preferably not.
I wouldn't doubt it.
When you recruit at this level, look, and I put this out on social media the other day, that Georgia is the new Bama. And everybody's like, or not everybody, some people are like, no, Georgia is Georgia. And then Alabama fans were like, no, look at what Nick has done and all this. I'm like, I'm not saying they're going to do the exact same thing that Alabama did. What I'm saying is Georgia, to me, if they win it this year, has overtaken Alabama for the mantle of the big bad bully on the block. When it comes to recruiting, when it comes to on the field, when it comes to being the most physical and having the best roster. How can you argue that? How can you argue that? Who's got a better roster than Georgia? Who does? I'll hang up and listen.
I mean, back-to-back national championships.
Yeah,
is impressive.
It is impressive.
I mean, and
I
like,
I don't know if I'm ready to pass the torch.
Yeah,
I.
They got a little ways to go.
What do you mean though? What do they got to do? Win three in a row? You don't think going into next year that Georgia will be more feared than Alabama?
No, for sure. I mean,
that's what I'm saying.
I would say yeah, for sure. But I don't know if I'm ready to pass.
It's perception. It's the perception. It reminds me of what Nick did early at Bama when they were just dominating teams. And I know Georgia's played a couple games close. You look at the Missouri game. You look at the Kentucky game. You look at the Kent State game, as crazy as that sounds, for a while. But I feel like Georgia is the new next thing. And I don't think they're going to have the run that Saban did because I think the game's too different now. with the transfer. I don't think we're going to see what Nick Saban did maybe ever again in college football unless we go back to the draconian days of the rules of college football.
All right, let's go to Travis Elrod, huge Houston fan. Huge Houston. He's a hashtag Ask Crane & Co. With the addition of Houston to the Big 12, is the Big 12 now the best conference in the nation for basketball?
It's hard. It's possibly hard to say no, man. Yeah. It's hard to say no.
Strong.
Like, I mean, look at the ACC. We know the ACC, okay, with Duke and North Carolina and Virginia, you've got really quality and high-level teams in the ACC. But from a depth standpoint, I mean, you look at Baylor. You look at now Houston. You look at Texas Tech. I can go down the list. The Big 12 is Iowa State beat North Carolina to start this whole run, I believe, of North Carolina losing. Like the Big 12 from a depth standpoint, I mean, TCU with Jamie Dixon there. I mean, there is deep. The SEC's on the come up too. The SEC's nice. I think the SEC has like six of the top 12 defenses in college basketball right now, which, you know, isn't shocking. But I do think we are looking at with Houston going there, losing Texas, obviously with Coach Beard hurts, losing Oklahoma with Porter Moser, who came over from the Ramblers of Loyola Chicago, is doing a good job over there, especially in recruiting. That'd be a guy I think would be fun to play for. I think adding Houston to the Big 12 is almost equals the equivalent of Texas and Oklahoma together with what Houston is doing right now and what they're going to do. Because if you look at Houston recruiting, they are only getting started. And that brand of ball plays in the NCAA tournament. It really plays. I want to get this Booster Club leaderboard real quick. Texas Ed, 7-0, boys. 7-0.
Look at that.
5 away from glory. Sasha Booster Club and Ulrich Scharber, both 3-0. Cody Nason, the king of getting graphic, or the graphic king, depending on how you know him, is 2-0 with Steven, our Ogden, our buddy Portmanteau it. Dinkin Flicka, Jacob Brown, Go Blue or Go Away, Kyle Jenkins 2, are all 1-0, and Crash Course Guy, 0-5. Remember,
Tatum.
If you don't know, then you do know. It's like I used to tell my DBs, if we're all wrong, we're all right.
Yeah. Never
forget that.
Quit holding. And when's the last time we've had somebody in the Bush Club Hall of Fame?
It's been a while.
It's been a minute.
We're not knocking it back
down. It's been a while.
All right. So, bets for tonight. Nice weekend. 9-3 weekend. Needed it. Tonight, not a lot of great college basketball games to choose from. There's 7 on the board. Looked at Gonzaga and Kent State. Now, people say, Jake, Kent State only lost to Houston by 5. They're a top 100 team. Well, Houston plays a little bit different brand of basketball than Gonzaga plays, and Gonzaga is a different animal at home. Plus, they're coming off that one-point loss where they feel like they should have won. They led for most of the game. Give me the Zags, -15.5 tonight, going off at -110 at home. Does the basketball court have volleyball lines on it? Yeah. Do their parents sell sour straws and that nacho cheese that isn't real in the concession stand? Yeah. But it's still Gonzaga in basketball, and I like Mark Few. Give me the Bucks money line and the under 50.5, little two-teamer, little same gamer, at +105. Can we get to 12-6? Because I'm going to wake up tomorrow and it's not going to matter, because guess what I'm going to be? I'm going to be 0-0.
There we go. All right, I think two things are going to happen in this Monday night football game. I think the Bucks win, and I think Tom Brady throws at least 2 touchdown passes. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to parlay those together at +120. Nice little dog bet there. And then I'm going to go to the ice here. I want the Boston Bruins, 20-3 so far on the season. 20-3. I want them money line, and I want to add on the Calgary Flames money line playing against the Coyotes. That's at +102.
Double dog day.
Yes. Yeah.
I love it. All right, 5-1 yesterday.
Forever.
Can't believe it. Somehow I did.
You went what?
5-1 yesterday.
Wow.
Seahawks covered. I had a -3. They scored a touchdown with like 30 seconds.
There you go.
Ravens money line. But I'm going to take, let me look through Jake's head. Give me the Tampa Bay New Orleans under. We'll take that 44.5. 2 solid defenses here. And then me Chris Godwin anytime touchdown at +170.
I would love that. I got a little same game parlay off the side.
My fantasy team,
so. Yesterday. Okay, baby Cone. Tough month so far, but we all know what he does. Sandbagging.
He's just trying to get us excited.
Sandbagging. He's going to go the under for the Bucks Saints under 43.5, and he's going to take Godwin and Alave combined over 138.5 receiving yards at -110. I do want to, before we go, let the Miami Dolphins know something. Okay? Look.
Did you type this out in your notes?
No.
Okay.
What you guys did to me yesterday, because I'm going to read this. And you know, look, we've gotten...
Oh, God.
We've gotten been very fortunate to hit some big parlays that I've been really, really excited about. But let me go ahead and tell you what happened yesterday. I had a 13-pick parlay. Vikings plus 7.5 hit. Giants plus 7.5 hit. Ravens, Broncos under 53.5 hit. Steelers, Falcons under 50.5 hit. Eagles money line hit. Browns, Texans under 50.5 hit. Packers, Bears over 33.5 hit. Lions money line hit. Seahawks money line hit. Bengals plus 7.5 hit. Chargers, Raiders over 41.5 hit. Cowboys minus 9.5 hit. The Dolphins plus 7.5.
There's always one.
No, I'm gonna tell you what I'm gonna do. Number one, I'm gonna never forgive you. I hope you never win another game. I'm gonna eat so much tuna that is not dolphin safe for the rest of my life. I'm gonna hunt it out. I'm gonna hunt it out. I want it to be dolphin, and I don't even want it to be tuna. I want it to be dolphin. Now, I wish they would have kept Snowflake off Ace Ventura and Dan Marino.
$1,300
yesterday because Tua doesn't show up, and you're up six, and that right tackle couldn't block a short, fat kid who can't see straight.
He could block him.
Unbelievable. Mike McDaniel, take your Harry Potter-looking self and figure it out.
Don't blame
me. Cost me $1,300 yesterday, plus 7.5.
You brought
against Brock Purdy?
You brought Snowflake?
Yeah, against Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant. Y'all can't just lose by a touchdown. Tua, you'll never win one. You got lucky against Georgia. Devontae Smith was wide open. It was in cover two. They were stupid to run it. They thought you were running a screen. You got lucky.
Man, you brought
never forgive you. I hope you never win another game. I hope the Dolphins never win another game. Hope they never win another one.
Wow.
So that's where I'm at.
The next time Tyreek or Jalen Waddle has a big touchdown for your fantasy team.
Where do you go?
I'm back on the Dolphins.
Where do you go to protest the people that are protesting to save the Dolphins? That's where I'm going. That's right. I'm just gonna have a picture of Mike McDaniel. I'm just gonna hold it up.
Dolphin. All right, let's go to Philip Payne with a $2 donation. Phil, appreciate it, man. Says, I wish sports betting was legal in Georgia. Look, we're reaching
out. How do you have a state that has a lottery and sports betting isn't legal? Somebody look me in the eyes and explain that.
Does it make sense?
It's like making prostitution legal, but saying you can't have sex till you're married. Like what? Here's the lottery, but
it's
no,
just like
don't
that.
Bet on sports.
It's just like that.
Sister Rick says, guys, I'm rolling 0-4 right now. Still World Cup ride or die this week. We never mentioned the World Cup loss.
Oh, the World Cup? Wait.
Here's what I'm going to say. After watching that, I told you guys about Zimmerman. I said it after the first game when he choked it against Wales for the time when he got that penalty. Same guy who's watching the game in the back. Thank goodness he plays for Nashville FC. I may be going to a game, and I may have a sign that says Zimmer Woman.
I didn't think we played that bad.
We can't score.
We
can't score. We got a bunch of Rajon Rondos out there. Yeah, we can dribble good. Make a couple good passes. We can't shoot at all. We couldn't finish. The goal could have been twice as wide. We still wouldn't have scored. Now, I know they had the Butler from the Adams family in goal, whatever monster that was, part of Xerxes' army.
Really good. Really.
Defensively, they're not very good. We can't score. We don't have anybody that can finish. We have nobody. I would just recruit somebody from Finland so at least we have somebody that can be finished.
You know, here's what we need to do with soccer. Not football, soccer. Offsides needs to be legal. Okay, offsides needs to be
no
legal.
No ties.
No ties, first of all. That already needs to go in every sport. And then this clock stoppage. Oh. No, not steroids. Oh. Okay, this clock stoppage situation. I don't need the referee over there hogging all the information in a proprietary nature. I need it to be transparent. What does the clock say on the scoreboard? You've been keeping up with it on your own and it's going to be like plus 5 minutes extra and then you blow the whistle. No, I'm not down with that. When the time on the clock goes, that's when the game's over and that's when the half's over. Also make offsides legal. It's fair for both teams, like in basketball. You want to cherry pick, you lose another man on defense.
There you go.
There we go.
I like it.
Maybe we make the game a little more interesting.
All right, make sure you like and subscribe. Check us out on all social medias. Got Tim Brando tomorrow. Big game Boomer tomorrow. Really big show. Make sure you check us out. Let us know in the comments, too. Did the committee get it right? And if not, what would your order have been if the order was wrong? Or what
poll
you have put in or brought out? Poll real quick.
Who has a better chance of winning all? Ohio State or TCU?
I'm going to say they said Ohio State and give me 57%.
OSU 58%.
Ohio State 63%. TCU 37%.
A lot of faith in the Buckeyes.
Just keep prices right.
Big 10.
Every day. And it's like, I'm so done with it. I'm just so done. Just, I feel like I'm just a boxer.
Hey, well, at least you get to do the poll.
That wins seven rounds.
Enjoy it.
All right. Make sure you subscribe. Check us out tomorrow at the same time. Really appreciate you guys. Go subscribe to Daily Wire Plus, too. If you're not, what are you doing? Do it now. And like the chances.
Don't bring Snowflake in.
Don't bring Snowflake into this, Jake.
Well, I wasn't going to, but
leave Snowflake really out of this.
Like the chances of me watching any more of the World Cup. We're going. Gone.
Introducing two new and improved Jeremy's Razors. Fighting the left and building the future means constantly bringing your best, and that's exactly what Jeremy's Razors is doing. Choose between the new and improved Precision 5 Razor for an exceptionally smooth and close shave, or the brand new Sprint 3 Razor for a quick, clean shave. The new razors feature top-to-bottom redesign. Enjoy an ergonomic handle designed for superior durability. The new coated stainless steel blades are sharper, so they last longer. Increased flexibility allows the razor to better contour to your face to reduce nicks and cuts. Plus, the lubricating strip is now equipped with argan oil and aloe. It's time to toss out that woke razor and get yourself a Precision 5 or Sprint 3 trial kit today. Pledge to fight the left and build a future with Jeremy's Razors. Go to jeremysrazors.com and order yours today.